Hello, and welcome to another episode of the How to Scale a Business podcast. My name is Hector Santisteban, and I am your host for today. Our special guest is Mr. Yosef Yunus. He is a pay-per-click e-com lead gen specialist and someone who also has been helping people get more clients online. So I'm excited to dig in. Thanks, Yosef, for hanging out with us today.
No, thank you, Hector. I'm a fan of the podcast, so thank you so much for having me here.
Talk to me a little bit about how you got into the pay-per-click world and how you got into doing what you're doing. And then some people might know what you do, but some people it might seem like wizardry. So if you could share a little bit about what you do for your clients as well.
So what we do is we work with a lot of e-commerce, small businesses, and they come to us and they're ready to begin scaling. And what does that mean, scaling? Well, they're ready to put like paid advertising behind their marketing, if you will. So what we do is we first intake them. We say, okay, what is your product? What are you all about? And then we craft a story around that in terms of what the product is. And we develop assets. We actually do content creation for ads. And then what we do is we put them in eventually an ads manager, whether it's Google or Meta or even TikTok. And from there, we actually slowly begin scaling them up to making revenue, right? And there's a couple keywords that come into play, such as ROAS, which is return on ad spend. Some of your listeners may have heard that. But what we do is we actually specialize in taking businesses that have not even done this before, but think they're ready, and then slowly doing drip campaigns to eventually scale them up. And some people they stay in different stages, right? Some people just stay in the startup stage just for a little bit because we tell them you may not be there, right? Because a lot of it is there's some signals we use, and we're going to talk about those. Some signals we use to say, if you're ready, or if you think you're ready, we come up and we say, you may want to wait a bit. And then there are some signals we use in the middle where we say, okay, so we're doing these drip campaigns and we want to make sure that you're selling product. We have the right creative, we have the right audience. And then if we start sealing that scale, that's when we put a little bit more gas on the fire. And then we slowly begin, we're like, hey, you need to start spending like $50, $100, $150, sometimes $200 a day on advertising because we finally unlocked the right creative, right audience, product, and it's all coming together and you're ready to scale. So we take a lot of people from different stages, from the middle, all the way from the beginning, and sometimes in the end. We have a lot of clients that actually have already doing this, and we, for some reason, they've wanted to part ways with their agency and they come to us because they know we specialize in all these different points where people can begin scaling their revenue.
That's awesome. And I think it would be great to know what some of these indicators are, because at least for me, I've always seen paid ads as something that you, and this is just my perhaps false perceptions, and I would love for you to break these down, but that it's either something that you need to invest in significantly, or that you need to have someone who knows what they're doing, or both. And that to just do it on your own and to just dabble, the wisdom that I've heard is that it doesn't always make sense to do that. So can you speak to that and maybe when it might make sense to start leveraging these types of marketing?
That is an absolute great question. Usually it is the variety of signals we're talking about when somebody comes to us is I first say, what are you doing organically? And then most importantly, do you have sales already? I think it's really important that you already have sales organically going on, because that literally indicates that you have the right email campaigns, you have the right outreach, you have the right organics in place. Because once you have organic social in place, really the paid social component is a no-brainer. It's just like literally just, like I said, adding a little bit of gas on top of that fire to really fuel it out. That makes it a lot easier. Now, if somebody comes to us and says, okay, I literally have a great product. I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have any organic SEO up. Sometimes people don't even have a site. And I always say what we need to do is just put together that infrastructure in place, right? Let's make sure we have the site ready to go. Let's make sure the SEO is going. And it does take a little bit, right? Like it's not organic, is a crawl, right? It takes patience. But I'll always say, hey, we can do small little campaigns to get traffic to your site. I'm not saying we don't have to do anything at all. We can even do $5 a day and just slowly get that traffic going and have those people start crawling through your site and get those add to carts firing, get those initiate checkouts firing. I doubt you'll get purchases, but you may get email subscriptions. You may get people opting into the frequency of your site that want to come back, your lead magnets. And that's actually something else I'll talk about too, is if you're at that stage, right? If you're at that incubation stage and you're thinking about starting advertising, the first thing I would say is, what are your lead magnets, right? Do you have that lead magnet infrastructure in place for it? And it could be email opt-ins. It could be like if you're a pet brand saying top 10 tips for your pets, or you could just, the list goes on. But I think you see where I'm going, where it's not really about sales, but it's really about the offers and how you could get people coming back to your site and kind of view you as a brand authority in that space. Because you just don't, at the end of the day, you don't want people just to purchase and leave, right? You're looking for those multiple purchases. You're looking for that lifetime value. To get that lifetime value, you do need those lead magnets and you need that brand authority that has people coming back. And when I talk about brand authority too, it does lead back to the organics, because the organics is where you have a lot of people that you can, even let's just talk YouTube for a minute. If you have a lot of brand authority on YouTube, you can leverage that brand authority to your site. But again, you have to have that in place. So you need a strategy there, right? Now, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I have a 50,000 and I have 100 widgets ready to go. I have them $20 a piece. I want to do at least a $5 cost per sale. So I get a 4 ROAS or 3 ROAS mathematically. And I would say, let's look at what your site is. Let's have those organics up. Let's do the best we can to make sure there's a footprint there for you in terms of the brand authority as well. Because these days, people, there's so many different choices, right? You have so many different options. People aren't necessarily looking for a product or something to buy that's cheap. They actually want some little bit of brand authority. They want to see what you've done in that space. Because there's a whole bunch of different options for people now. The same product is replicated across Amazon, across Temu, across D2C. So really what people are looking for is someone to say, hey, I like that person. I think they're coming from a place of authority. I'd like to go back to them and then be part of their ecosystem. That's when you have that lifetime value, when they're part of your ecosystem. People forget that part. And it's a huge miss, I think, right now with a lot of D2C brands.
One of my mentors is also in the space, and he posted something that Google just did some research, and they found that a consumer needs 7 hours of engagement across 11 touch points in 4 separate locations.
Amen.
Yeah. And he went on to break down 7 hours is a long time. That's a lot of content across 11 different touch points, right? In 4 different spaces. And that's what you're talking about, is you've got to have all these things put together. So I'm curious for you, when a business is at that place, or they're at least wanting to be at that place, are there any common mistakes or common pitfalls or common things that in the getting their, let's call it their house in order, in that sort of process, is there any corners to look around? Anything that you might be able to say, hey, here's something that we've learned in that process that actually helped when we turned on the ads, they were so much more effective?
I think the first one is what I was talking about, the lifetime value. There's so many people that just want to get the quick buck and then just want the person to leave. And it's no, like you want them. So the first thing I would say is subscriptions, right? You should definitely have somebody who buys once. You want them to come back as many times as possible. So I, first of all, check in on them. Second of all, give them maybe an offer to come back eventually if you don't hear from them. If your email campaigns say they haven't been back, that's the easy. It's so much easier to bring somebody back who's actually purchased from you, unless they had a negative experience. The second thing is what I was talking about, the brand authority. This is a huge miss I see across the board. People just sit on all this amazing content. I've had so many people, for some reason, I tracked some pet products lately. And to be in the pet space, you have to be an enthusiast. You have to have a dog, right? You have to have a cat. So they have all this amazing content of film and all this stuff. What you need to do is package that up and put that out there organically. And a lot of people think, oh yeah, I just want to do the product and I just want to do the site and I'll put the video on the site and that's it. And it's no, like there's all this amazing content that you could do in terms of lead magnets or organic, etc. So that's one thing I see that's a huge miss. But the third thing I'd say that's a miss that I see are emails. This is a huge overlook. Again, a lot of clients, some of them have been around organically for a spell. And I applaud them when they do that because they have that brand authority. They've been collecting emails. They've been having that slow burn that organic is. It's a huge investment, I know. And say they have sometimes thousands of emails. And then we find out we're going ready to buy and they're like, oh yeah. And that's my fault too. I probably should ask, but they'll come up to me and be like, I have 1,000 emails and would you like to use them? And I'm like, of course, please. So it's amazing how much content, how much CRM data people sit on. And in this day, it's emails. Like emails is money. Like it's these platforms now, it isn't necessarily these interest audiences anymore. It's really about using your CRM data, your email data, taking that into the platforms and plugging that in for lookalikes. That's actually way more valuable than just some random pet interest. right? It's actually your CRM data that if you have roughly 1,500, 2,000 people, I can easily plug that in and begin extrapolating that via the platform to some lookalike users. And that's, you're ahead of the game. You're already ahead of the game by months.
Yosef, I want to jump in for some of our listeners who may not know, and I'll come on to have you educate them a little bit. But essentially what you're saying is that you can take this first party data that you're collecting from your site or purchases, and then you can actually give those emails back to Facebook or Meta or Google, whoever it is. And then you can also advertise directly to them if you choose to. But what they're able to do is take that data and then find other people who are also like those people. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Absolutely. That's exactly it. That's it.
What's been your experience in leveraging those audiences? Or for, I'd imagine that a lot of business owners, they're like, without understanding, unless you understand the mechanics of it, they don't really see the possibilities of it.
Of course.
So what sort of things might help them to see what's possible when they're starting to leverage this data and, like you said, extrapolate on it?
Yeah. The first thing is when you're doing this outreach to a PPC agency or to a freelancer or a contractor, I would actually be very forthcoming. Take like an inventory of all the data you have, or all the CRM data or emails, phone numbers. That's another thing that's going on right now. There's a lot of changes with Apple right now where they're changing a lot of the ways that you can sync the email data and collect that. So Apple's just becoming more of a closed walled garden, if you will. So if somebody opens their email on an Apple device, it sometimes won't ping back to Zapier or to your platform, right? So what happens in that case is you don't find out what happens. So one of the things outside of emails that you should be taking your inventory on. So if you're a client and you want to be an advertiser and you want to make that step, is look at your CRM data. So look at your emails, like you were saying. So that's ammunition, right? But another thing that we've been seeing too is telephone numbers. So telephone numbers, and that's something that you collect when, say, if somebody's been around for a while and they've been organically getting purchases. Phone numbers is an amazing thing that's coming up right now in terms of that one-to-one relationship, because it's not necessarily spamming. They've bought from you. They've opted in. You know, a lot of times they opt in to get mobile messages. So that's another way that you can reach out to your platform. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is it's all these different client inputs that you've received along your journey from starting your business, whether it's organic or whether it's slowly starting the sales, and just really gathering your customer intelligence. And you have this database and literally saying, hey, freelancer or agency, I have this database. What can you do with it? Now, sometimes you can only do so much with it, et cetera, but emails is one, mobile is another. That's really, if you do those two things, you're ahead of the game.
This is great stuff. Yeah, so when we get back from break, it's likely that a lot of our listeners aren't going to be the ones hopping into Ads Manager. They're probably going to hire someone like you to do it. But I think helping them to see more possibilities, or even sharing some of the successes that you guys have had with regards to pet products or any of these other kind of e-commerce brands, I think will really start to crystallize in their mind what's possible for them when they start leveraging these tools. So we're going to get into that right after this quick break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Amplify Media. This is Hector's company, the company of the host of this show right here, right now. And what you have to understand about Hector himself is the level of care he brings to his entire team and to every single client. If you're just getting started with a podcast, or you have an established one and you hate the nitty-gritty, the little details, the editing, the posting, the sharing, the reviews, all the things you have to do as a podcaster that make you crazy and waste your time, Hector's there to save you. And he does it for a price I think is ridiculously too low. I've told him multiple times he needs to raise the price because there's way more value there. Amplify Media, AMPLAFY media.com, can give you all the details on how you can get started or how you can streamline your process to just go back to creating the content that you love, that your followers listen to you for, and really build your voice. AmplifyMedia.com.
And with that, let's get back to Yosef. Yosef, I'm always fascinated by people who do what you do. And it's mostly because I would never be able to do what you do. My brain just does not work that way. You know, when I go into Ads Manager, my anxiety levels start to rise when there's that much data. But for you, I'd love to know if you have any favorite examples or favorite success stories or things that you like to go to more often than others because they're more effective.
So the first is when you have an e-commerce platform, make sure that your buyer is, I guess the best word is merging the platform with your e-commerce platform. So if you have Shopify, let's just take a step back. So you have Shopify and you have Facebook, making sure that there's a server connection between the two. That's and the same thing. Google has the exact same thing. So why do you need this? Why is this even a thing? It's a thing because right now Apple and Google have a cold war going on. Meta's caught in the middle. Each one's shutting down the Google and Facebook click IDs and the links. What does that mean? That means that if you're on an Apple device, sometimes you just don't make that connection back to Google. Why? Because you're an Apple device. So what happens is you need that server connection that your freelancer, your contractor, your agency should know how to do. So that's the first thing. Make sure those deep connections are there, not the links, right? The links are just being, and then you have ad blockers, you have all this other stuff. Another thing is, I've actually talked about in a different area, is reporting, right? In terms of reporting and making sure that you're going over the reporting with your agency, right? And understanding, because, and where am I going with this? Do I need to look at the reporting? You do, right? Because this is your money. And what's going on with your money? It's just, would you buy a house without knowing on what the interest rate is? When you really take this down to a whole another level, would you buy a car without looking at having everything itemized and knowing how much that affects the price? So really understanding, going over each all these points with the buyer in terms of the reporting is, it just, the more knowledgeable you are, and I hate to talk about this, my friends, is these scam freelancers, scam agencies, the less you'll be taken, right? Because you want to know what your ROAS is. You want to know what your click-through rate is. You got to know what the question the buyer on these benchmarks, and what is that benchmark? Are you meeting each week? Are you not? Are you meeting at least a month? And then when will you meet that? And the only way you know this, my friends, is if you understand the audiences and the creative. So now I'm talking about two other things. So that's the first thing. Understand the reporting, make sure the connections are there. So when we go to the platforms, understand that you create, like with Meta, what makes Meta go, right? What makes a cannon fire go on Meta? It's the creative. So make sure if you're using even TikTok, Meta, these social platforms, I actually expand that definition of any social platform. So if you have Pinterest, paid interest, paid TikTok, or paid Instagram or whatnot, or paid Facebook, make sure you have a good funnel of good creative and your that can come out, right? So if you're going after teens, or if you're going after young adults, or if you're going after moms or whatever you're going after, you have that creative going on, right? So you have the mom creative, you have the teen creative, or pet owner creative, or acquisition audiences that are opportunity audiences you want to go after. You're going to need that creative, right? So make sure that your agency you're working with has that capabilities in case there's an opportunity on it you want to test. You have to have that right creative. You can't go after dads if you don't have dad creative. You're not going to use teen creative for dads, right? You may be able to use agnostic general creative to test it out, but
And basically, for the layman, what you're saying is that if you're talking to dads and you're trying to get dads to buy your stuff, you can't have pictures of teenagers, and you've got to have stuff that matches who you're trying to go after.
Exactly. Also, looking at influencers, that's actually something too. That's a big miss that's going on right now. If there's an micro influencers that are in the space right now, those are huge. And if you can get them to endorse, not even and do something with your product, but have them be part of your advertising. You know, one thing that's really cool, and no one has taken me up on this idea. I've seen it once. No one has done it. And I think I heard it randomly. I can't figure out where I heard it. I think it was definitely a podcast. And I've been trying to do this idea. Go to your audiences. So say you have this audience that you've been building up either through emails or engagement or your organics. Go to them and say, how would you like to be part of our marketing? Can you please create a 30-second, 20-second ad of you with this product, whether it's a pet product or whether it's a lint roller or whatever? I always say lint roller because I'm marketing that right now, actually. So anything at all, you know, and we'll have a contest on it. So not only do you have these 2,000 people who are like, hey, I get free product. All I got to do is make a video and hey, that's cool. And they can right away, you have this UGC, user generated content, that's ready to go. That's almost like an influencer based content. And you could plug that in, say if you have a mom doing it and you have a dad doing it and you have a teenager doing it, right? Right away, you just made content from your user base. You see how cool that was? That's awesome. And I think brands really, and that goes to community. And that's what I'll say in the very beginning, really challenging and bringing that community in because, hey, if you have this awesome, whatever, contest to be including the marketing and you have all these brand evangelists, who wouldn't want to try that? So it's a win-win for everybody.
This is so cool. And man, the depth, you can just tell that you know your stuff. So I'm so excited for the listeners and obviously your clients that they get a chance to work with you. Looking forward, one of the podcasts that we produce is actually called the Google Ads Podcast. And one of the things that we noticed is that there's so much change happening.
Yeah.
You spoke to it a little bit, but that the platform Google Ads of 2024 looks almost completely different than perhaps even 2022 or 2020. Like the further you go back, the more stark the difference is. But all that to say, are there any things that you are excited about or that you've seen that isn't just a test or a trend or something that's like, hey, these are some of the innovations that have been made and then this is the direction where things seem to be going? Do anything stand out like that to you?
I already know. I am an AI advocate. I really am. Because there's two things I trust about AI. Right now, there's a big debate going on. It's funny you mentioned Google Ads. On Google Ads, where they are, I think it's Project Gemini or whatever it's called. They take your URL and it automatically creates the headlines. It actually automatically creates the images. Eventually, it'll probably create the videos too. But what happens here is there's a big almost like debate in the community. Oh my God, they're going in our space and all this stuff. And I'm like, actually, Meta's been doing that for about a year. They've been doing that. They've been creating the headlines probably for a year and a half. And it's funny because I can always tell who's like, who does both or who's just in Google Ads, because all of a sudden in 2024, it's this huge thing. And I'm like, okay, so you must just be in the Google Ads space. But there's a couple things I think on this. A, that's good. Right? Because it's just headlines, right? I don't think, I have heard, oh yeah, they're gonna, it'll be seamless and all this stuff. I really don't think so. I don't think Google wants that responsibility. They literally do not want to be on the hook for a Fortune 100 brand that's gonna drop $10 million and they get minimal conversions, right? Because then Google's on the hook. Google wants to be able to blame an agency. They want to be able to blame somebody. And that's why buying will always be in the buyer's hand. So that's my philosophy on it. So where am I going with this? I'd say, you know, AI is, I think, will help everybody overall. I see it becoming less ROAS based and more, and when I say that's return on ad spend. So what does that mean? That means conversion based and more like traffic, using your lead magnets more, using your community more. Because when you do the revenue buys, those kind of conversion-based buys, if you do those buys, I think that signal will get less and less. It's just the way it is. It's going what I was talking about. I think understanding that AI is your friend, creative is going to be huge moving forward. I see some great stuff also with just one quick thing is, I got Plot on Google on, is they've done a great job going into the living room. They've done a great job with, there's a great Google TV integration going on as we speak. You can buy Google TV inventory as we speak, which means any inventory that appears on your big screen in your living room, you can get, if it's biddable on Tubi or Hulu, you can get in there through Google. So yeah, that's a big deal. And that just happened. That literally just happened. So that just started. So I think it's looking at these PPC platforms as not necessarily revenue, but also top. Whoever thought Google would be more of a top of funnel living room based buy? You'd never say that 2-3 years ago. You'd be like, get out of here. You'd laugh at me. You'd be like, oh, just search and dog food and get people to your site. That's all you would say. You wouldn't say, wow, I can have a spot in my living room like that, right? I see more upper funnel coming, more middle funnel metrics. And then of course, that's what I see.
Yeah, this is awesome. This has been fantastic. Yosef, if people want to get find out about you, your services, I know you've got a show of your own. Where's the best place for people to go get connected with you?
Yeah, just Google me, YRV Dynamics, Yosef Yunus. You can see my, like you just said, my YouTube show, or find me on LinkedIn, more than happy to chat, or on our website. We have some great domain authority, also have some great Medium articles. So yeah, just Google me and you'll gladly find me. No issues.
Love that. Listeners, I want to thank you all for sticking around with us today. If you got some value today, which I know you did, I'm going to have to go back and listen to this again, but we would be forever grateful for a rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you know someone who needs to hear this, maybe they're thinking about leveraging and utilizing some paid advertising, hit that share button and send them this episode. Let them know that you were thinking about them. And as always, we appreciate you being here. We'll see you on the next one. Later, y'all.